everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm an inspirational speaker helping people to become resilient and live positively with the challenges of life. I work with TechBlocks, a technology consultant in Toronto, Canada. Find out more about me in this interview at my website, tom2talltall.com. Our guest today is Sander Steer, the Chief Operating Officer of Sponsor Energy, a company I'm very excited about and looking forward to help get the word out. Sponsor Energy is an electricity and natural gas retailer, and they donate about 50% of its margin on each unit of electricity and natural gas consumed by its customers to a local charity of that customer's choice. Their unique business model harnesses the power of everyday consumption by splitting profits with charities based on energy consumption. They have partnered with over 50 well-respected Alberta charities that are dealing with social issues like poverty, homelessness, and addictions, as well as one of my favorites, the Arthritis Society, and with formal profit-sharing agreements in place. And they plan to roll similar partnerships in Ontario and across Canada in those markets as well soon. They have been selected as a finalist out of over 270 nominees for the Calgary Chamber of Commerce Business of the Year Award for Community Impact. Our guest today is Sander Steer. Welcome to the show, Sander.
Thanks very much for having me, Tom. Hopefully I'm coming across all right. Trying to use the old Skype tool here.
It sounds amazing on my end. I can hear you well, and it must be an amazing feeling to get up and go to work for a company that is pouring money into local charities. Like, you mustn't ever have a day where you're like, oh, gee, I got to go help charities earn some money.
You've hit it on the head. It's an amazing feeling. I came from a corporate Calgary, a Mondo organization, where didn't really have the same feel good every single day. So coming into a smaller shop that's all about the community and reinvestment and trying to help out, everybody from animal rescue foundations to health trusts and food banks. It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm wondering, because I started reading more about social enterprises, for-profit companies that benefit their social environment, their community, other nonprofits, and I guess your Sponsor Energy would follow under that kind of a company label, if you would.
It absolutely does, and we are seeing much more of a socially conscious movement these days. There's pubs now that are not-for-profit, so you know, have a pint for a community is a great tagline there. We're seeing profit sharing on other ventures as well, and there's a Give a Mile Foundation which takes those unwanted air miles and turns it into flights for families in distress or for medical reasons or what have you. It's a huge enterprise out there now, and it's that philanthropy feel good is starting to use an overused term. It's going viral. A lot of people are seeing it now. They're trying to embody it into their DNA and trying to do better. You know, corporate social responsibility is the hot topic these days.
It is. It is. And you're taking something that used to be begrudgingly people paying their utility bills. Oh, that damn utility company, no good so-and-so's. I got to pay my bill. But now when they're doing it, especially if they have a passionate favorite charity, it's like not the same energy to pay your energy bill and be involved with an energy company. It's a totally different feeling for the customer.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, for many, they're less begrudgingly paying their energy bill because it is, of course, that necessary evil. But people who have signed up with us, who are especially very passionate about one of our community partners or the charities that we are sponsoring, because they've perhaps lost a loved one, or it's perhaps it's an issue that they're dealing with, or something that they've already felt passionate about in past for other reasons, for them to be it's a pride point to be able to say, you know what, every time I turn on the light, I'm helping a little bit. So it helps on that front, and also for the slacktivists, those who really just, don't find that they have the time, the energy, the inclination, but still want to do something, so they make the switch, and they know that a part of their monthly bill basically goes to help out. So it works all the way around on opposite ends of the spectrum.
I know. It would be, and you're rolling out to Ontario, because I tried signing up, but yeah, when you get to Ontario, I'll be there.
Well, it's fantastic. Yeah, we can already do natural gas nationally through our partners, and we can sell electricity in deregulated markets, which currently are just Alberta and Ontario, but hopefully the other provinces kind of follow suit, because it is definitely the better way to go. But with those offerings, and we can help out absolutely on the consumption and the commodity thereof, but more so Sponsor Energy can really get nationally and internationally with our sustainability efforts, trying to turn consumption into information, into digestible chunks that people can see, walking into work or chatting on the elevator, what have you, so that they can actually we could start affecting change, a behavioral change, to try and reduce consumption, which is a kind of an exciting avenue that we're taking right now as well.
Yeah, neat. You have a new you have a program as well, a help program, and it makes you zero money. So why are you involved in a program that makes you zero money? But it's apparently all about the community. And so explain that program as well, because this is going counter to most business cultures who only do things to make money.
It's one of my favorite questions, because even now, when it you share your profits 50-50 with charities, what kind of business model is that? You're giving away half your profits. Well, yes, but with this business model, we absolutely expect to get twice as many customers. So we wholly expect to be, beyond successful in the next, we already are beyond expectations at this point, but in the next 5 years, watch us go. But the help program is something that we want to do to help those families that are in energy poverty. And energy poverty is a bit of a new term. It's those families that are sitting at that every month they have to decide pay their electricity or buy groceries, pay their gas or, car payment or my child needs a retainer or it's those decisions that happen, and they're happening in 70,000 households in Calgary alone, and 240,000 households in Alberta are having to make those decisions on a monthly basis. What we want to do is we want to work with our partners to create a stable electricity rate, get them signed up for it so they know what they're paying consistently throughout the given year, and as well, because we don't want to have to do credit checks or anything like that, very philanthropic businesses around Calgary are offering to help us support this program financially, so that we don't have to do the credit checks, and people can get into this program at a lower electricity rate, so they can kind of start planning their lives and save a couple hundred bucks a year, right?
Wow, and so correct that there are people where those decisions are actually decisions they got to make.
And the HELP program, that's, of course, it's an acronym for Home Energy Low Income Program. So that's something that we hope to be rolling out in the new year. It's taken a little bit of time to get organized, because we are working through some of the agencies in Calgary to help us really determine best fit, most need for the families that are out there, so that we can roll this program out systematically and appropriately.
Wow. Amazing. Now, you have another program, this sustainability program. You really want to it sounds like this is a big one for you guys, where you're heavily involved. As you'd mentioned, reducing consumption, that's one of the main topics that people are looking for, ways to reduce consumption. And so you guys are not only doing good things for charities, but you're also doing great things for your community, for the country. Amazing. And then the recent selected as a finalist for the Calgary Chamber of Commerce Business of the Year Award for Community Impact, 270 nominees. So if I did math on that, I don't know what it would be, but you're a very small percentage that's been selected as a finalist.
Oh, yeah. It every day brings something new and exciting for us. The getting nominated for the Chamber of Commerce Community Impact Award was huge for us. And we're going up against other very, very good organizations, one of which MealShare, for example. You see those on menus and so forth around the city and across the province. And great, great organizations. And, you know, it's an honor just to be, you know, included in that very select group. So, you know, fingers crossed that we get the votes in and the support that we need to come out on top. But, you know, the proverbial everyone is a winner in those particular situations and awards, because whoever wins, they absolutely deserve to be there. So,
amen.
But yes, from the sustainability aspect, it seems counterintuitive that, you know, we're an energy retailer. That's really our first line of business, and yet we want to come back and try and get you to use less of it. Well,
right.
Let's face it, it's for the good of the community, it's for the good of the earth if we can all use a little bit less. So what we want to do is we want to bring in our technology to be able to do local energy metering, that which we can then turn into a more of a management program and possibly an infrastructure upgrade program, so that over time you reduce your electricity and your consumption and ultimately come out ahead, even if there is some cost to doing some infrastructure upgrades. Because if you can measure it, you can manage it, right? And the part about that is the interface we want to create to the tenants and occupants of those particular buildings and wherever that our product is. Our display is called, we call it the Light Bob, which is the building operations bulletin board. It's what we want to do with that is we not only want to show instantaneous consumption, but we want to show instantaneous consumption as it relates to charity. How is that consumption helping the charity? And then on top of that, be able to have those messages coming across too on activity in the building. For example, you know, the lighting changes, or perhaps schedule changes, or they change the filters out. Just some very small things that actually will show impact to consumed electricity. That way, when people are walking in, hey, wow, look at that. They did something and it worked. Maybe I can do that. And maybe that small little bit is enough for them to think about what they're doing at home, furnace filters, for example, then maybe they'll go home and do the same thing at home. So, and the best part, of course, is that now being able to monitor to the floor level, to the branch level, the different circuits and so forth, is being able to then, you know, turn it into a fun thing. You know, last week, we encouraged everybody not to take the elevator, and look how much we saved. Let's try and beat last week's record by doing it again today, right? And being able to normalize that data so it shows that impact, behavioral change, behavioral impact. And that's really the exciting thing that comes with the LightBob product, is not just having yet another display board or dashboard, as everybody's called it, having that up. No, it's actually trying to elicit a response and trying to elicit some activity and change behavior, which accounts for probably 30% of electricity that's consumed in the building, right?
Yeah, amazing. Now, you're in a big, ginormous industry with big competitors. Do they give you any trouble at all with this new idea? Are they supportive? Are they wishing they did it? Are they trying to copy you at all?
Well, we are the only one that does this. It's, I think the competitors are looking at us going, don't they have shareholders that they need to keep happy? How does this business model work when, again, you're giving away half your money? And there's the other ones that say, we don't need to bother because we have 90% of the market anyway, right? But
right.
I think as people gain that awareness and they start saying, hey, you know what, I do have choice. I do have the ability to do something more with this, something that I have to consume every single day. Why not make the switch, right? Take it away from the big bads, if you will, and let's support the smaller retailer that's really trying to help the community rather than just going into the pure big revenue pockets, right? So I think the exciting thing is that we're actually getting some of these Uber providers turning around and actually taking a look at us, wondering, is there something there for us? So we are actually entertaining talks all the time where, you know, they're looking at us going, well, how come your model works, right? And is there something that we can do so that we don't just look like the baddie and you guys are the goodie and so forth, right? Because don't own the electricity. We already have currently partners that take care of the supply side, and we basically are the retailing arm. So, for example, AltaGas, one of our partners, they arrange for the electricity and the natural gas. We redo the retailing aspect of it, and you know, they of course they're in the business to sell big electricity and big gas, but you know, using us as their front store, if you will, has been great for them because they're getting out there and selling to markets they've never been in. So it's been a great relationship and one that we hope to carry for years and years and years as it's mutually beneficial.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have other guys knocking on your door saying, can we sell you our stuff?
Absolutely we do. And we're very, very select in who we want to, because it has to be the same message that we have, which is, you know, all about the community, and more so than it's just about selling another kilowatt or another gigajoule. So, you know, they have to be in step with us, or else we don't want them. We don't want to entertain them as being part of our business.
Right, right. It kind of would not be congruent with the business model and the type of company you are. Just to always seek another penny or two savings at the risk of not going towards your culture, what you're known for.
Absolutely, and we can do so much to harm our name if we don't have the right people and organizations that are with us on this journey, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. Now, Carolyn Martin, was she the one who came up with the idea for this? Because this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, she was. She's our president and CEO and ultimately founder of Sponsor Energy. The company was incorporated 2 years ago, but the first customer didn't actually come on until about a year later, as Carolyn spent about that entire first year meeting with every single one of our community partners and charities that we wanted to partner with. So each one has been vetted to make sure that we were bringing in the right groups to partner with us on this endeavor. And then about a year after getting all of those lined up, we partnered with at that time with on the residential side with a company called UtilityNet, which allows us to, you know, hedge the power that we need. So that's just industry talk for we got a bucket of power that we can now sell at a certain price. And then with a little bit of front end work on the old interweb, we will start doing our signups, and fast forward a year and we're doing great. Getting lots of sign-ups, daily sign-ups on both residential and commercial. So
amazing. And yet, online and by appearance, you look like a big company. And I shouldn't put this out to the world, but the other day when I called you guys, Carolyn answered the phone. And I was asking for Carolyn. I want to talk to Carolyn. And then finally she's like, well, you know, this is Carolyn Martin. Right? I was like, what? Direct, no screening, no assistant, no voicemail, Carolyn Martin. She said, yes, this is me.
And that's Carolyn in a nutshell, right? She's the first one to not be in the limelight for this. In fact, you know, this whole idea, this whole venture was all hers. She's put an enormous amount of her time, resources, and finances into making it a success, and yet, you know, she's the first to denounce her involvement as, oh, well, you know, that's part of doing the business and so forth. So very, very, very modest individual. And yes, we are a fairly small shop, but it's because of the mesh network that we have with our partners. It's a small team that's part of a much bigger team, if you will. So we have call centers handling residential calls. If there's an issue, we have AltaGas running the commercial billing and invoicing and credit checking and so forth. And ultimately, we help there if there's ever an issue. But once all those things get settled, power is one of those things. People very rarely make the change after they've made a switch because they, you know, as long as the bills keep showing up, they're happy to pay them.
Right.
So yeah, you don't need a huge, large team to do that. And unfortunately, that being a product of being so successful, it's probably our sales side that's probably taking the biggest hit because they're overwhelmed right now with the response, and we just can't get to every single person who's expressed an interest. So, but that's part of growth,
Really?
And that's part of being a success, and it's a good problem to have.
An amazing problem to have. You're going to have people knocking on your door trying to find situation how you do that, where you have more business and you can, like, just get it put together and get everybody signed up. How do most people find you? Are they just searching about and find you, or do you have people on their door? Do you have outbound call center?
Nope. And none of those things. As a matter of fact, it's right, I think, in our mission statement somewhere that we do not want to go into the door knocking industry. It's just there's a lot of bad press around that that methodology, and we simply don't want to partake in it. Now, as it stands, because of our community partners and because of the number of people that are associated with these organizations, our reach is huge. It's like 500,000 people when you factor in all the people that those particular organizations touch already. And so what we've done is when we sign up with, say, the Calgary Interfaith Food Bank, we give them a stack of our cards and so forth, so that as people come in and they partake of those services, they, you know, those cards can be handed out and saying, hey, look, if you're having energy issues, you know, why don't you call these guys up? They'll set you up cheaper rate, and you know, you can save some money that way, right? So that reach, it's alone, that word of mouth alone has been wonderful for us, but that's only now hitting that select group, of course. So how do we advertise besides word of mouth? Well, we've just recently partnered with Caro. They're a firm out here in Calgary. They do a lot of advertising, a lot of PR work and so forth, and they are going to help us with our branding and marketing, which is, once again, it's a scary, exciting time because we know that once Carol gets out there with your message, we better be ready.
Yeah. You better be ready for an influx of business.
Ready for an influx of business. That's right. It's a great problem to have, but you know, before we go turn up the taps too high, we got to make sure our back ends and so forth can support that, because it will happen and it's going to be great.
Nice. Let's talk about yourself a little bit. I always like to ask people about their favorite business books. Got a few?
Oh man. Well, you know, I just recently I was asked to speak at a Go Mentor function at the Global Petroleum Show, and part of that session was, well, not just the basically stand and talks, but it was also that 4-minute dog pound session where you make your pitch and you get the VCs in the front row asking you a whole bunch of questions. You know, it's 0 to 100 mile an hour stress, of course, right? And as it happened, Brett Wilson was there. So, he was one of the he was the MC, one of the
he's been interviewed for our
Hopefully.
Show.
He's ubiquitous. He's everywhere, man.
Exactly. Who hasn't interviewed him?
And you know, he's made a great success out of turning really Brett Wilson into a market in itself, right? His name goes so far. So getting a chance to meet with him and getting a chance to get his book and reading through that, so redefining success, still making mistakes, has been a very interesting page turner for me. And it's just trying to get into the head of somebody that's had both those highs and lows in his career is, you know, it's insightful.
Very insightful. Yeah, and well-known Canadian. As you said, he's all over the place, so that's a good book to get. I was thinking of it myself, so maybe I'm going to run out and get it, or try and get a free one, because we interviewed him before, so let's see. Fantastic. What about Carolyn? Is she avid business book reader? You see a library in her office, or does she talk about various business books she's been reading?
Yeah, actually, she's given me a couple that are still sitting on my nightstand. One of which is called Early Exit, talking
Early
about
Exit.
You know, basically, yeah, it's a book about you know, the startup industry and how to you know, largely position yourself for success, maybe, and ultimately, let's face it, if we are wildly successful, then why wouldn't you know, the bigger companies come sniffing around, right? So,
exactly.
Good book. To know exactly where we stand and what our real value is, so that you know those price points can be set, of course, right? Not say
right.
We're looking at getting out because we're having way too much fun doing what we're doing.
No, exactly. But when you grow to ginormous proportions across Canada, sometimes those decisions help you do even more of what your purpose is. And so good to know ahead of time. And in this day and age, you know, it used to be that 10-year planning was kind of ridiculous, but in this day and age, you really got to do 10-year planning because those 10 years, there's about 50 years of accumulated time and knowledge and wisdom and fast change that goes in. So definitely a good book to read to know where in the end, when your dreams are coming true, that you're so big that it's hard to even grow bigger. Good to know what the options are anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that would be the kind of that book for the future. The one that's more prevalent now is Andreas Savalatos. He's actually one of our board members, advisors for Sponsor Energy. Andreas, of course, he wrote that book Misfits, which was quite recently picked up by the University of Calgary in their, I think it's the Must Read program. Andreas made himself very, very successful, not just as an early childhood pianist and super genius when it came to numbers and so forth, but also was the one that came up with the whole Green Miles idea. When everybody else was just painting their signs green, he was the one that said, hey, maybe we can do better, and selling that company down the road for, you know, gazillion million dollars, of course, made him iconic in the industry of, you know, social consciousness and socially so businesses that are socially conscious.
Right.
He says it absolutely can work, and you can absolutely make money at this. And he's been a huge inspiration to us. And being a personal friend of Carolyn's, it's been, you know, that amazing resource to just call up and say, hey, are we doing this wrong, or are we doing this right? You know, and getting that feedback.
Right. Amazing. I'm on his website right now, misfit-thebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't be able to spell Suvaliotis. So I just Googled Misfits plus Andreas.
Yep, and there he is. And it's I listened to him speak. We were actually invited to the U of C because he's giving the keynote address for the first year intake at the U of C. There's about 4,000 students in the audience.
Wow.
And while listening to him passionately speak about, you know, being that misfit, being a misfit since the day, you know, he was born, never really quite having that fit, but not to turn away from that, to embrace it, to be different, to not just think outside the box, blow up the box, right? Just, you know, that's the way that business is heading, because status quo is not going to be what's going to be driving business in the next 10 years, right? So it was a hugely inspiring address to all those young minds, impressionable minds still, because let's face it, they're first year university, and, you know, and just letting them know that it's okay to be different. It's okay to follow your own path, your own heart, and not let what other people think get in that way.
Excellent.
So very good book. Very fun to read, actually, because you can, within two pages, you're kind of hooked on you know what Andreas had to go through on his early years and so forth, right? So
fantastic. Well, you guys are doing some amazing things. Good speaking with you, Sander. I'm looking forward to seeing all this growth and change happen. Say hi to Carolyn for me.
I'll absolutely do so, and thank you very much for allowing us a chance to kind of talk about the business and talk about what we're doing. And yeah, if I hope to have this conversation again in about a year and telling you exactly how much better and we're doing.
Amazing, amazing. I know you're destined for big growth, and I'm looking forward to adding you paying my bill through you guys soon.
I hope so as well. So it's just getting into those markets. So watch
out. All right.
Fantastic.
Good talking to you, Sander. Take care.
You too, Tom. Cheers, man.
Cheers.